If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Molas. Come and get less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 105 of the Rugbiz Podcast, and as Halloween is only a matter of days away, I'm sat next to the scariest sight in all of Clapham, Mr. Archie Curzons. How are you doing, sir?
Hold on a second. I am well, mate. I am well. I'm just trying to figure out how I can connect my mini disc to your speaker. Ah, here you go. You're going to bloody love this.
Archie, CCO. Yeah. Uh-huh. Here we go. It's kind of funny how Liz is gone. She's a smoking hot chica, but her economic plan was wrong. But she's got six figures for the rest of her life. Yeah, so happy for you, babe. But Bruce, he didn't give up. No, he refused to give in. And he's ready to give it everything. The economy is back. We're gonna be alright. So everybody sing for Rushi.
Come on.
One love for Rushi tonight. One love for Rushi tonight. One love for Rushi tonight. Here's Tom and Peter, watch your back. One love for Rushi tonight. One love for Rushi tonight. One love for Rushi tonight. Kiss Tomer, watch your back. Yeah, yeah. One time.
Archie, what the hell was that?
That was a little thing I've been working on all weekend. No, just a little song just to show my support for Rishi.
Did you make that all by yourself?
Bloody good guy. Yeah. Probably spent too long on it. But I think we could release it for Christmas and see if we get a Christmas number one.
Well, I'm not sure if it'll make... Well, but you do have a top 10 to your name, so I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it was quite impressive. Is that why you had quite a quiet weekend then? Because I saw the Falcons playing.
I hadn't
rugby
much, but had a few jars of the boys. But yeah, mate, you know, we've got Halloween this weekend, which is one of my favourite weekends of the year. Because everyone gets stressed.
It's
hard not to pull on Halloween.
Go on, what are you going as?
I think I'm going this year as the Incredible Hulk, going for a swim at the beach.
What do you mean going for a swim at the beach?
Just wear budgie smugglers. And I was going to do the green paint, but I just think no, because it won't make me look good. So I'm just going budgie smugglers, but I might just write Incredible Hulk on me. And then I've got also Autumn Internationals and then Silly Season. So there's a lot of jars to be had, a lot of lash to be taken down. So I'm just taking it quiet at the moment, keeping the chassis in shape. But I had a lovely, lovely Sunday.
Yeah, go on.
It's perfect, by the way. It's a real fashion tip for everyone out there. Really good look to walk around Clapham is just some like gym shorts and then just a puffer jacket. I go with North Face, like a two-coloured, black on the top,
two-colour
on the bottom. And then white socks and just, it's really class look. But you can wear Canada Goose, you can wear Rob. It's just a really solid look. It's a really nice weekend look because it says, you know, I'm an active guy, but I'm also, I mean, I look good.
And I'm guessing because you weren't.
It's a really, really good look.
No, it sounds good.
I love it. It's probably my favourite look.
I'm guessing.
If I could have that, if I could wear one thing the whole time, I would wear that.
Well, I'm guessing because you weren't out and about, you were spending a lot of time with Johnny, your daughter?
Sunday night, we had some bonding. She still doesn't do much.
Really?
It's disappointing. Yeah, the nanny said it will take probably another 6 to 12 months.
But
I'm going to try and speed that up. I'm going to try a few experiments.
Experiments?
And just try a few things with the diet. Yeah, because...
That's not the right word to use with a baby,
She
is
will
it?
Be advanced. If you are spawned from me, you will be advanced. But at the moment, really, zero banter, zero chat.
But have you been learning more as a parent? Do you have more to educate us with later on or not?
No. I realised that when she just cries, you just quickly call the nanny because she'll know what's wrong. It's either she's hungry or she's, you know, she's gone to the loo. And that's the thing that annoys me. She goes to Lou. She can't. Someone has to do it for. I mean, not me, but the nanny. But so the nanny just tells me that those are the symptoms. A lot of children listen to this who are going to, be future parents. It's not that good. I'm not getting anything from it yet.
You're not enjoying being a father.
No, I like it. It's great for business to talk to clients. Brilliant. Don't get me wrong. And brilliant for PR, Instagram. That's great. Yeah. Those are the positives.
But the reality.
But the company, I thought we'd be discussing things, nothing at the moment. And I think the nanny seems to think that would be quite well.
So Archie, do you want to do Curzon's Crush this week? We didn't do it last week.
No, and a lot of people got in contact. A lot of parents have said they found that section in particular very, very helpful.
Okay, so we'll bring it back.
And for me, it's a phenomenal section.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if someone comes along and acquires that.
There's a chance.
It's probably the most profitable section of the podcast.
Okay, well, what I do think
is that when we are doing that section, I want to make it a section that not just parents can listen to, but their children. It's going to be a family-friendly section
on this podcast.
Yeah, because a lot of it is X-rated, granted.
Yeah.
But this section, it's about...
Family-friendly.
Family-friendly, yeah.
Okay.
So let's get into it.
Hello, kiddos. Welcome to my crash.
Welcome to Curzon's Crash. Now come and enjoy your day.
Hello, mummies and daddies. Hello, boys and girls.
Hello, Archie.
Hello, Freddy.
Hello.
You've got a good smile on your face.
Thank you.
Smiling. That means we're happy. And that's what we all want to be in life. Really, really happy. This week on Curzon's Crash, we're going to be speaking about food. Yes! We want to make our children big and strong so they can play a high level of rugby, because we know if they play rugby, they're going to have good chassis, good chat, and probably make a lot of coin. And those are the three core pillars of life. When mummy and daddy gives you a plate, it should be a quarter greens, quarter carbohydrates, and half of it should be your proteins. That's your meat and eggs and fish. And that's really, really important. So we want to make sure that you eat all your greens and your proteins. Don't worry about too much about the carbohydrates, because they will make you chubby. No one likes a chubster. So parents, just make sure that you're giving your children plenty of protein. There's no such thing as too much protein. For the parents who have got very, very small newborn babies like myself, my daughter, Johnny Jono Haskell-Abendon Curzon, is formula fed by the nanny. And what we like to do is put the formula in the bottle, add some whey protein, and mix that together. Now, on the evenings when I'm cooking steak or a roast chicken, I will use the juices from the pan and put it into the bottle. And that way, you're going to find that your baby will start to get the taste and the flavor for meat, which is really, really important. Another thing we do is a snack. Now, Johnny John is only a month old, is we blend egg whites and then also put that in a bottle. And we're seeing significant growth. Just remember, kids, the very famous nursery rhyme. When you get your plate, it should be a quarter green, with your vegetables like broccoli and runner beans. The other quarter should be your carbohydrates, like your potatoes and your rices or your bread. Then the half of the plate is the fun stuff, like your chicken or your eggs or your fish. That's the protein you'll need to grow and become big and become a rugby player in the future. Bye-bye, mummies and daddies. Bye-bye, boys and girls. Bye-bye, Freddy.
Bye-bye, Arch.
See you next week for Curzon's Crash.
So, Archie, this week you said enough is enough. We've had too many big names in rugby. We need a change.
We just had too much ruggers, if there's such a thing. But, we've obviously got a number of guests lined up coming in the coming weeks. But I thought we'd have a bit of a step change.
Okay. Who have you gone for?
I went on LinkedIn, Claudius, and I just researched all the blue ticks.
Well, you must have a lot of time to yourself. Okay.
I don't follow me. And I've got a shed load of people.
Yeah.
And I found Mike Shipman.
The Seabus?
Yeah, the MMA Bellator
professional
fighter.
MMA fighter.
And I thought, let's bring him on.
He follows you?
Yeah. Yeah, well, mate, a lot of these guys will, because I've got seriously good bands.
Okay.
And they know they can actually learn a lot from
And he's agreed to come on our pod.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of synergy in terms of what he does and what I do in the city. So I think what we'll do
is,
should we get in some tight little pants and get in a cage and have a bit of a banter?
Sounds good to me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted now to be joined by future Bellator MMA champion Michael Seabass Shipman. Michael, you've got one of the greatest chassis we've ever seen on this podcast. When you stare down the camera at Archie looking slightly worse for wear, is there anything you admire?
The mustache is strong. He's very sleek. He looks like a kind of a speed endurance kind of guy, wiry kind of character. It just works. It looks like a real Not that he doesn't make an effort, but it look, he makes it look effortless.
Shippers. You know,
he's not trying too hard.
I like the cut of your jib. It is brilliant. And, you know, a lot of people say if I got in the fighting game, I'd be the Dean Gaffney of fighting. You know, I've got that wiry look that says, you don't want to mess with me because I might get you. But I mean, Dean Gaffney says that to girls. I would be saying that to opponents.
Right.
Like men in the ring.
Okay.
Guys my
That's quite
age.
Creepy.
Yes, or at the legal age, yeah.
Obviously, Shipman's got an incredible shape.
I have had a look at Shipper's chasse.
I can imagine you have, yeah.
It's formidable. It looks like, you know, it is designed to kill.
Right.
Like, if me and him were out on the roof of the Ned in the summer by the swimming pool, we'd be killing the cheekers.
Surely he'd make you feel quite conscious, though, because he'd be set there with an eight-pack. You'd be there looking slightly sloppy compared to him.
But Clodis, no. I've got low body fat at the moment. I'm pulling in like a four pack. But, you know, Shippers will tell you rugby lads are built differently. You know, I need to have a bit of padding because...
Yeah. Otherwise, so many impacts.
Yeah.
Not a flying half, you then, do you?
No, but like Shippers, your Shippers sport is not really about impact.
Isn't it?
It's
not in the same way. Not the same way as Archie. No.
Yeah,
so fighting's not about impact. No.
If you know anything about rugby and MMA, this will be an education for you, Clay.
Well, no, I'm interested to know. You're saying MMA is not about impact.
It's about speed and speed, right, missing. Shippers, are you more on your feet or are you on the ground?
I got a few knockouts and I got kind of like carried away, like enamored with clocking people in the face. As a means of finishing a fight. So I guess my base is more kind of like wrestling, grappling, kind of in close quarters.
Yeah.
But then as I've kind of developed, I've managed to get a fair few knockouts standing. But oftentimes they're set up from having taken someone down. They get back up. They get kind of frustrated. They get softened up. And then when they're cooked a little bit,
boom.
They don't see this old thing coming so easily.
That's
yes, please. And again, it's quite interesting you say that, Shippers, because you know my background from being in boarding school, I'm used to that grappling, close quarters, wrestling,
rolling around
again,
on the floor.
Same tactic was, you know, as an upper six against the third form, I'd be pinning them down. I would take them down until they get exhausted, and boom.
Knock
get
out.
Them with the hockey boom. Stick.
Wow, good.
Up the bottom.
Up the bottom.
Yeah. Because that's the way you get involved. That's what we get. That's what we do at the rugby club with the Griffin.
Yes, that is very scary.
You got a hockey stick. That's the key to actually getting them with the hockey stick. You got to grapple them. You got to wear them down. By the end of like an hour on the floor wrestling 15 guys, they just give in. Pop.
Well,
just go straight in with a hockey stick.
Yeah,
nice,
up it goes. You don't even need to take the trousers down, but that time they're so exhausted, and the power of the hockey stick goes so quick.
Well, Archie, I think we should move on because this is quite a disturbing topic.
Shippers, obviously, you see like the weigh-ins, and you hear horrific stories of you know, people having to do quite sort of drastic things before. Have you ever had to do something like completely rogue to make the weight?
Nothing too drastic. I mean, like obviously, I've had to like weigh in just completely naked before.
That's great.
That's okay. It's not the best, man, because you're like super dehydrated and you're super drained. So like your blood's thinking about other things.
You're not packing.
You're not packing. I mean, at the best of times, but especially on Wednesday, it gets a little tricky.
I've got a little technique for you
because
one of the guys when I was at boarding school again told me about that because obviously when we had to go to showers, you didn't want to be the smallest in the room, if you know what I mean.
No, sir.
So what do is if you, I don't know if you're circumcised or not. It's not that important for this conversation, but I'm not, and neither was my friend. He probably doesn't want to be named, and we just hold each other at the end. And then if you just, in that kind of motion, you're just pulling up and down, like trying to get a sock out of a drawer. If you do that for 5 minutes, it does grow. Yeah, it's a pre-show. It's a technique you can do. But, you know, it does actually burn a lot of calories. So it could actually work out quite good. If you need to burn off things, just go in the back and give it a sock drawer. Up and down.
Still do that or not?
Just pinch it on the end. Yeah, not too hard because that can be dangerous. But yeah,
you pinch it.
Yeah, I will send you a video in your inbox of the technique. It's not pinching.
Please.
It's just putting the foreskin just between here. It's soft.
Just holding
pillow.
Okay.
What I found is you know the right touch if you put your mouth to it and you blow it. It makes the noise of a recorder.
You know, if I could get Yeah, if I get my mouth to it, then I wouldn't have the issue, you know?
Yeah, no, well,
I feel like that's a
good imaginal flu.
Your friend was helping you.
Yeah, my friend, he taught me how to do it, and that was the first thing he said, because I wasn't holding his properly. You do the other person. That's the best way of doing it, because you get the right angle.
Help each other out.
And then he said, if you blow on it, but when I played it, the first time I blowed it, I couldn't get a tune out of it. And then I did it. I got a lovely.
And when you get grass between your hands.
It was a more softer noise. And then I got it. And then we did that.
Is that an SAV?
We did that for a whole term at school because we're in the same room together. We didn't want to be the smallest in the showers. And we weren't.
No way, man.
The problem was it took so long to do that actually when we got down to showers, no one was in there. So no one could see how we looked.
Well, on the issue of testosterone and balls, are you one of those fighters who sort of adheres to the 8-week no wanking, no sex program?
No. I mean, I tried a couple times and then the timing just got shorter and shorter. At first it was like, yeah, 8 weeks. And then it's a preposterous thing to do to yourself. And then you're like, okay, 4 weeks. And even that is kind of, you end up coming into the last couple of weeks and you're not really thinking about fighting.
Yeah, it's really horny in the ring.
I'm not sure. Yeah, you're just mad horny. I'm not sure how beneficial that is for your, for your focus. So I kind of just like, for me, just kind of, I'll leave it like a week, 5 days a week, and I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the science, but I'm not doing it the night of before or anything.
I did a whole 15 week season for rugby just to see if it improved my benefit. No, not really.
God, it was a big
sacrifice. Wasn't our choice, because tell you, a lot of people wanted it.
Of course it was.
But I was like, no, I'm trying something out.
Well, obviously you're signed to Bellator, but for those who don't know, obviously there's UFC, there's Bellator. Just what are the differences for those MMA idiots who don't really understand?
Yeah, so in MMA, as opposed to boxing, you have kind of like you're signed to an individual promotion generally. So there's not much crossover between the promotions. So it's kind of more, I guess you can compare it to if UFC was the premiership, then Bellator would be like Bundesliga or something like that. So it's another league that you're playing. So UFC is still the big show in town. It's the number one. And Bellator is the second largest MMA promotion.
How many times do people cross over from Bellator to UFC?
They do cross over. It's probably harder that way around than the other way around, just because obviously it's a lot to do with protecting your brand from your rivals. So if you do super well in Bellator, and then you go over to UFC and you do super well in UFC, then I guess they're like, okay, fine, this guy's great. But if you've had like some wars in Bellator, or you've had some close fights, and then you go over, you can kind of show the fans that there's not possibly such a big difference as they like to. UFC likes to protect their brand as they're kind of like the, this is my impression anyway, that they're kind of the number one show. So when they have Bellator fighters coming over and doing well in UFC, then all of a sudden it has a kind of a crossover benefit to Bellator, or it can do.
Mm.
So you have things like Michael Chandler's gone over and he's done well in the UFC, and then you have people be like, oh, I want to watch some of his old fights, and they end up watching Bellator and they watch him lose to Pitbull, for instance, and they'll be like, oh wow, who's this guy? And then they start watching some more Bellator fighters.
Yeah.
So it can be it happens, and it does happen a lot, but it's not the easiest transition always.
So what you're saying, Shippers, for the lot of listeners that listen to this, you know, UFC is like Clapham. Mm. It's Clapham.
Yeah.
And then you've got Bellator, which is like your Fulham.
Yeah.
Your Chelsea. And they're both great areas. They're both great areas. Depending who you ask, they might say they prefer Clapham.
Yeah.
Someone might prefer Chelsea. I mean, but what you'll find is a lot of people who live in Clapham feel that Clapham is elite. And then all of a sudden, this guy comes in from Fulham or Chelsea, and he's wearing some good club. He's not wearing any socks. And they're like, oh, okay, this guy's pretty good. He sits down for a drink. Next, his first drink. And everyone's like, hold on,
wow.
You must be from Clapham.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm from Chelsea. I'd be like, is that the first time you've necked a pint? He's like, no, I do that on the reg every weekend. And they're like, oh my God, I've got to go and check out Chelsea. Is it a good nightlife? He's like, yeah, we've got a bloody good nightclub called Embargoes on a Thursday night you can go to. Right, we're going to check it out. And then you get this bit of crossover, but you know, you'll still get the people in Clapham like, no, I'm not going to Chelsea. No, thanks. You know, like,
because,
good for you for living in Chelsea,
hards,
but no, thank you. So yeah, that, exactly. That probably settled that, I think.
That was a very good parallel.
Yeah, thank you.
That analogy is spot on. Yeah. Perfect.
Obviously, pre your MMA fighting days, you were a bit of a rugby player, playing for Beaconsfield Rugby Club. I saw on your Instagram that you got some sort of certification for being a one-foot player. Yeah. What position were you, and what is your sort of individual rugby highlight?
Apart from my 1999 attendance certificate.
Yes.
For, well, that's got to be up there. Yeah, I played seven, mostly.
Nice. Yeah. I can see that.
So I went and played for a decent club in West London, and I was still like quite young there, and I was playing for the seconds, and I felt like I was doing well with the seconds, and then I asked for a meet with the coach to be like, hey, when am I get a chance to play for the first, and like, you know, I'd like to sign and, you know, start making some money out of this basically. And I was like, yeah, I guess this is if I was going to be like you, if I was going to be like great at it, this wouldn't have put me off. I remember having a chat with him, and he's like, look, you're doing well, but I look at you as when he said, I remember now, he said, I look at you, you're like, now don't take any offense to this, but I look at you like a dog, like a strong dog. I was like, okay. He's like, personally, I hope I'm wrong, but you're never going to make it in the Premiership. He goes, just turn out, keep your head down, keep working. And then he goes, and I remember taking that on board. And I was like, all right. And I was like, well, do you mind I go back? I don't want to stay here. Do you mind? I'm going to go back and basically release me to go play, just for Beaconsfield again, like back to my old club, and just kind of just have a, and he's like, yeah, sure. Like he didn't like the seconds coach seemed to value me somewhat, but he didn't at all. I found that like the forwards drill super boring. I just like getting up and hitting into people.
Yeah.
Well, so I was like, oh,
forwards are so really boring. Like front three and four and five, they're just literally, there's zero banter. So if you're near that, it's enough to put you off.
I agree with that. Yeah.
But Shippers, how would someone then take a direction? How do you go from playing rugby, then like, did you have to go and research, how do I become an MMA fighter? Like, how does that work?
I was never that well planned. I was kind of never had that much direction. So I just started training boxing. And then I was in the boxing ring, and like, you know, like you say, I used to be a bit bigger as well, having just come down the rugby. And as you've witnessed, you know, big rig on me, looked quite athletic. And I was in the boxing. There was this little strange Iranian man, just starts talking shit to me when I'm training boxing. He goes, my friend. I look around. He's like, you think you can beat my wrestlers? He goes, any my wrestlers smash you. I was like, okay. And he's like, you want to train in the? He goes, you want to fight in the ring or you want to fight in the cage? I was like, I guess the cage. He's like, then you need wrestling. So basically, I got shit talked into coming and trying the wrestling, and then turns out his guys, they weren't that good and they didn't smash me. But then that was kind of like I got into the wrestling, and then the guy who, this was in Oxford at the time, and the guy who owned the gym, I think I kind of rolled with him in a jiu-jitsu class, and then they were like, okay, we want to sponsor you to kind of like fight for our gym. So he ended up like sponsoring me to like go and train, and like I had like zero jiu-jitsu, and then he paid for me to go and like stay in Birmingham and train with Braulio Estima, who at the time was the best in the world. And it's just massive overkill. Like I could have just been, you could have like had a novice teach me and I'd have learned just as much, but he sent me to train with this guy. And I remember that was like the first moment where I kind of like had a like, oh wow, is this for me as well? Because it was a guy who's like, he must've been like 88 kilos, whatever. And at the time I was kind of around about 100, and he taught some stuff, and he's like, okay, do you want to have a role then? I was like, yeah, sure. And then I'm thinking, what's this like small man going to do to me? Shuffle over to me on his bum. And he comes over, and he just, it was like witchcraft. He just tied me in knots, and I could not comprehend it. And then I was going back again and again and again. I was just tapping every few seconds.
I dated an older woman like that once. I had to get rid of her.
They're wiry. Yeah, they are wiry.
She shuffled over to me on her bottom. And next thing I know, it was witchcraft. I woke up the next morning and I had pains all over my body.
Thank God you woke up.
Is this for me? Do I want to do this again?
She was from Birmingham, so she might have trained at that gym.
Possible. But then I guess the difference is like, whereas I got discouraged from the rugby, I was like that kind of like completely changed my perspective of who I was and like where I was in the food chain. But instead of kind of putting me off, I was like, oh wow, I want some more of that.
It sounds tougher than the city. Maybe that's why.
That far.
Well, no, actually, no. You're probably right. No, yeah. City is bloody difficult. Commercial break.
Coin and Coinettes, it's AC here. I do hope this ad finds you well. That's right, this is an advertisement in your ears, so hold on tight, because I'm about to deliver some seriously good C.H.A.T. chat. This week, we have a new sponsor. We're very excited to have them on board. It's John Paul Jones Rum. It is delicious, by the way. It's from the southwest of Scotland, which is a phenomenal place to holiday. Now, the rum is exceptional for pre-lash or just lash or post-lash. It's just really good form on the lash. It's low in calorie, which is really important because you don't want to be taking on board too many unnecessary calories. And it's delicious in a cocktail. For me, it is the perfect present for family, friends, or more importantly, clients. All we're asking you to do is go and buy this rum, which is really for high net worth individuals, and you can get 15% off using the code RIGBIZ15. You are most welcome, and I look forward to having some John Paul Jones rum with you very soon. Love it, champagne.
Obviously, it wasn't as glamorous as it is now when you started, you know, trying to make it. You're doing other jobs to pay your way, one being a doorman, I read. Tell us, what were the worst things you witnessed as a doorman? Did you ever have to knock anyone out? Did anyone realize that they were fucking with an MMA fighter?
Probably one of the worst things is when you have like an Oxford student night and then you just get the mad kind of like condescending chat of like, hey, you know, you're a smart guy, like what are you doing here? Or on the flip side, like when you're kicking them out, it's like the classic, do you know who my dad is? That kind of like, yeah, you can't touch me and all this stuff.
Did you find out? Because I would love to know for business.
I never did. But like there is a kind of a sense of like super basic satisfaction when someone pushes it too far and they're like, they've been touching it to you all day, and then they're like, you can't touch me, and then they realize that in reality, actually I can. Like, you're right there. I actually tore my pec quite early on. So maybe like 9-10 years ago now, I tore my pec like pretty badly. I never got it like scanned, or never got it operated on. But basically you have three ligaments there, and I lost two of them. So it was hanging on by one. And that one was quite damaged as well. So I kind of just been like waiting for it to heal like an idiot instead of getting an operation right away. So I was thinking, if I have an operation, I'm going to be out even longer and all that, but I should just got an operation. But anyway, I was waiting for it to heal, and I was still like super kind of super careful about it. And I used to work at a club in Oxford called The Bridge.
Oh, what a place, by the way. What a place.
Yeah, wow. What a place.
I have smashed some jars in there, I tell you. You probably kicked me out.
It's quite possible. You probably tell me who your dad was.
No, yeah. Do you know? I haven't seen him for ages.
Lord, look. Yeah, no, I wouldn't know. I would have taken that seriously if it was you. But anyway, it shares the smoking area with the Anuba, which is the bar on the other side. So we got a radio saying, oh, there's a big fight going on in Anuba. We need some help. So I go down there, and then there's these guys coming out, and they're basically, it's the old dorman strategy of, hey, let's just have a chat outside and then we'll talk about it. I think we'll just chat in the garden. And then they came out and then just saw like the reinforcements there, realized what was going on, and then just started kicking off. And this guy just starts swinging for me, and his shots just going past my face. And all I'm thinking about is like, I don't want to like fight right now. I've got a really mashed up chest. I don't want to rip anything. I'm trying to like calm down. These shots are going past. And in the gym, a little background in the gym, like we've been drilling basically like a rear naked choke from the front. So it's like a super deep guillotine. And I've been drilling with a guy who was with us at the time, Marvin Vittori, who's now UFC. He's like a UFC title contender. He's done really well. But I've been drilling with him, trying to tap him out with it. And he's got a very strong neck. You get used to, so the guys in the gym have a very strong neck. So I'm basically lifting him off the floor by his neck, and he's still not tapping. And you've got to get it perfect to get this guy to tap. So I kind of had that as my kind of like background of like how to do the technique. And I've just got some pissed, untrained guy swinging at me. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put this guy away. I snapped his head down, went in super deep on this guillotine, lifted him off the floor by his head. And I just heard this. And I was like, oh, shit. So I let go, I put him down, and he's just like, he's passed out from the choke. And then his friends, I'm worried about him at this point, and his friends are still like swinging at me. So I kind of pull him to the side, and then I'm just like, you okay, you okay? And he wakes up, and I'm like, are you okay? The first thing he says, he wakes up, he's like, ah, my fucking neck. And like, usually when someone's been choked out, they wake up, they're just confused. They don't remember what's gone. The fact that he immediately, like, his neck cut, I was like, oh God, like, I've damaged this guy. This isn't good. and he gets up and he tries to swing it again, but he's like, ah, like his neck's still mashed up. And while this fight's still going on, there's all these people, I don't care anymore. I'm like, oh no, I'm getting sued. Maybe I'm getting some prison time. I don't know what's happening, how bad it is. So I'm just trying to like look after this guy. And he keeps like trying to kick off at me, but he's in no fit state to do it. Anyway, so the police get called and I'm like, oh, well, I'm screwed now. He's going to go to the police, tell them what happened. And then he's going to get the scans. There's going to be some damage or whatever. I'm going to get done for like whatever it is. And they're going to see my background and, you know, it's going to be a mess. But then luckily for me, the guy was just a legitimate asshole. Just starts swinging at the police. And then this police officer dealing with him, grabs him by the neck, dashes him on the floor. And I was just like, ah, oh, like,
yeah, yeah.
It's not me anymore. That's probably the worst one.
Well, talking of being angry, there's a wonderful video of you, Mr. Shipman, breaking into, I believe, your own van on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
What was going on there? Were you living in that van at the time as well?
I was living in the van. So I was, I'd park up in the gym car park and yeah, just live in the van. And basically I'd locked my keys inside. I wasn't angry so much as just defeated by the whole situation. I tried so many things. I tried to like unscrew the roof. I tried all kind of ways to get into it.
What was van life like though? Was it
quite,
quite hard, quite good?
Now you get so much props for it. Everyone's like, oh man, all the dedication to live in a van. I was like, man, it's great. if that's what you want to do, if you know the thing you want to do, it meant that I didn't have to work the doors anymore. I didn't have to like deal with people kind of like trying it all the time. I could just do a little bit of PTs here or there. And the only thing I had to worry about was just petrol and food. And those were my only expenses. And the gym was kind enough to like, I could shower, I could cook there, I could do all the stuff I needed to there. And just like, it's just nice to like simplify and a very, very like low stress way of living.
Any girls in the van? Any cheekers you walked back in the van before you met your missus?
Yeah, well, there's a few cheekers in the van. Yeah.
But I might actually get a van on Clapham Common. Yeah. It would save the walk back to my house.
Yeah. But that's it. Yeah, but also, yeah, you know, I wooed the missus while I was still living in the van. Nice. So,
Well, Michael, obviously in boxing, you get your bad-mouthing pre-big games. Your last one was on BBC, broadcast to millions against Francis Gregory Bebben. Sadly, it didn't end the way we wanted it to.
It did not.
With a first-round knockout, which is just fucking annoying. But
did you not like him at all?
No, I liked him just fine. Actually, he was like you got some fighters that get kind of like real, kind of trying to alpha you and stuff. And this guy was just like super sweet. Like he'd obviously done his like research on me. So that should have been like my first warning, because I very briefly studied Japanese in Oxford Brookes before dropping out in the halfway through the first term. So he's like, oh, you speak Japanese? I was like, oh no, not really, like tiny bit. And he's like, oh, hajime mashite and all this stuff. He was just like super sweet and a little bit awkward. So I was like, oh man, like what a nice guy, and I'm gonna have to absolutely wipe him out. But I guess that's the game. And then I went in and I just looked, and he kind of looked nervous to me, and he was there kind of standing. And all I saw was just his chin up. And I just went to absolutely just bomb his chin out with the first punch of the fight. And he had different ideas, and he just clocked me on the way in with a big left hook. And I got, basically the next thing I know, I was kind of like, I was having a dream bout. I'd just been dropped by Gregory Van, and then he was trying to choke me. And I was, oh, I'm not dreaming. This is happening. Like, I'm just very concussed. And so I managed to get my guard back and then started side punching. I was like, oh, now we're in a fight. Now it's happening. So I started punching him, got back to my feet. And then again, I still looked. I was like, man, my head wasn't right. But I was like, he still looked shook. So I was like, I'm going to go back in and do the exact same thing. I could see, like my eyes would work, but they weren't communicating with my brain. I couldn't see any angle. So it's hard to describe, but you get used to kind of, when I say I couldn't see, it's not like I couldn't physically like actually see, but I wasn't making those connections. My reactions weren't there. I should have probably just like clinched up, tried to get through the round. But to be honest, I was a little bit embarrassed. And I was thinking I should have wiped this guy out. I've got to win this round back now and make a statement on this round. And then again, didn't pay him the respect he deserved. And again, went in and got clipped, I think, two or three more times. And then that was it. My pro debut, very similar thing happened. I saw a guy, didn't really respect him. And as a general rule, you test with your front hand, you draw a reaction out, you see what's happening, and you basically get in behind your front hand. But both of those occasions, I just led with my backhand. So what that means is my right hand's my backhand. It means I'm fully committing to a shot without really, it's like I'm jumping in the water without testing it first. Like anything could be coming back. And I've just gone in with my whole body weight, what? And I just went into a big punch.
It's very similar, Freddie, actually. Again, a lot of parallel. It's very similar to a deal that happened to me very early on in the city. Met a guy for lunch, happened to be family friends. Mm. So, you know, we knew each other. I thought
should
this was...
Bag.
Yeah, it should be in the bag. Yeah. There was one other company contesting the deal.
Yeah.
But I thought, no, you know... Yeah, I know your son. I've seen your son.
We grew up together, yeah.
We've been on holiday together, you know.
We've done reed flutes, yeah, and come on.
And then the next thing I know, the other company are in front. And instead of assessing and understanding where I was and what I could do, I just went for it. And I sent him a very... The email was wrong. I led with my head, not my heart. And I just said, listen, what the f- are you doing? Yeah. You know, my dad knows you. If we don't get this done, this is my first deal in the city, we are no longer family friends.
Yeah.
Which then he went with the other company. It was totally unprofessional.
And you ruined
my
the family.
Dad was really upset with the email.
No, I'm not surprised.
I then had to consequently write him a letter because my daddy told me off and said, you know, that's the wrong way to conduct. No, but there you go. Yeah. Well, I was embarrassed about how it looked to my family, my company. Very similar.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Shippers.
Michael, you've been absolutely incredible. Just to finish off, obviously you can't fight forever. The body will give up eventually. What are your plans afterwards? Are you going to follow Archie into the city? Has he been in contact pre this? Give you a bit
well,
of a...
I mean, I hope so. I mean, it's still a young relationship. But you know, if we keep if it keeps blossoming, then maybe there might be some business opportunities.
You could be my strong number two. People wouldn't fuck with us. Yeah, I'd be like, listen, I'm gonna step out of the room now and just leave you with old Michael Shipman, otherwise known as Seabass.
I could already be behind them.
Yeah.
I think. You step out,
put
them
in the guillotine, and we'll get the deal done. I'll give you 5%.
Maybe edit that part of that story out because I feel like I'm incriminating myself.
we can edit that. We can edit that.
I'm joking. Keep it.
Yeah, mate, it's a great story.
Let them know.
Michael, obviously you got more fights coming. Is there anyone you'll want to call out on here in public?
McGregor,
in the future, who's next for you?
I'll fight anybody right now. I just need to get it ticking over and then get myself in position to have another run at the title. But you know, I guess if I'm going to call someone out, I guess it'll be was it Alex Payne?
Yeah, Payne. Yeah. You have heard it.
I'm not happy about that.
Shipman is going to come for you. And also, I just say, if you're looking for some action and some tune-ups, what I suggest, and we'll leave it at this, is just come to Inferno's about between the hours of 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. There'll be plenty for you.
Just have a tear up in Inferno's.
Just outside by the chicken shop. I'll be there. I can film it. I'll be managing. I can be nice. Like the Eddie Hearn of outside.
All right, brilliant.
Good. Shipman, thank you so much for your time.
So
we
on.
Really, really appreciate it. Love and champagne. You.
What an absolute legend. Getting an MMA fighter on the pod.
Yeah, no.
Great work from you.
It's bloody good chat. It's a good connection to have if ever I have any trouble.
It was about time we switched it up, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, next week we'll be back with Cool Ruggers, but sometimes it's just good to have a bit of a change.
Had you ever been to that club? The bridge?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really? Bridge, but you were at Bristol Uni?
Yeah, but what I did when I was at university, I was ahead of the game. You know, I'd go and visit other universities just for networking opportunities.
Right.
You know, I'd be in Durham 1 week, Oxford another week, Winchester the week after, Bath the week then. You know, I was
you must have done a lot of travelling.
I did a lot of travelling, but it was part of my job at university. Okay. I was already thinking ahead of the game how I wanted to be connected with as many stakeholders as possible. Chloe, just before we move on, have to mention Shipper's brother-in-law, Charles Hitchcock.
Okay.
Cocky, bloody good guy. Apparently is in seriously good nick. Makes a lot of coin and works in the city. So big shout out to Cocky. I know he listens to the pod, so hopefully you'll love this shout out.
Yeehaw! Ladies and gentlemen, this is Clubhouse Stories, brought to you by Sands. If you have a bald head, sort it out now.
Baldy, 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 baldy. Oh, please go sort your hair out with some sun.
Archie, it's that time of week again.
Oh, Clubhouse Stories.
It's time for Suns' Clubhouse Stories, please.
Oh, Clubhouse Banter.
Sponsored by Suns.
Oh, Clubhouse Chat, sponsored by Suns.
Obviously, they're back.
Don't forget to mention Suns,
because we will only stop doing these when Suns stop sponsoring this incredible section. But obviously, Halloween this weekend, lots of scary sights, but surely none more scary than bald guys in the streets.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah. When I see a baldy, I always think of Uncle Fester from the Addams Family.
Well, any baldy.
Who was extremely scary.
Yeah. If you saw a bald guy in a boardroom, big deal on the table, would you do visit like?
Yes. I think all bets are out. When the deal's about to get done, I don't really care.
Okay.
Money comes first.
But in general.
But I don't really see many bald guys in the city anymore.
Is that a coincidence?
I don't think so. I think Suns have come along and helped a lot of people.
Well, they've helped over 30,000 reclaim their lids.
Wow.
99%.
Yeah. No, that's quite incredible. Well, and they're an amazing business, we should say. Who sponsored this section of the podcast?
Well, what I wanted to do...
You don't want to fail and say how fabulous Suns are.
Oh, they're wonderful. Help over 90% of people.
We're so grateful for them to come along. Well, I mean, they've got a cut price for coming on the podcast.
Very good negotiators.
They are very good negotiators.
Yeah, they're actually very good at business, probably because they've got lids.
Yeah, because they have got lids.
Yeah.
And the code people want to use is RIGBIZ30. Because that gives
30%
them
off.
30%?
Well... What I wanted to
they
do quickly.
Must be cleaning it up.
Well, what I wanted to do quickly, Archie, is I want to show you what you look like bald. So I've got this app which makes you bald. Just have a look at that.
That's disturbing.
Do you think you could do business,
I wouldn't do business. I wouldn't do any snogging. I probably wouldn't play rugby. If anything, I'd probably be playing hockey with that kind of lid. I don't even want to look at it. Can you put that away?
Yeah, sorry.
Can we get on with it? That's really disturbing.
Sorry. So guys, if you don't want to ruin your lives, basically ruin your futures, there's still time to turn it around. Oh, are you okay? Are you okay?
Sorry, that actually made me feel physically ill.
You look like a Zambini, like a bald strip back Zambini. It's terrifying.
Oh God, I now feel incredibly sorry for those people. Please, whatever you do, this Halloween. You know, sort out your lid.
Well, if you sort it out this weekend, you'll have a new lid by Christmas.
Really,
how incredible is that?
I'm now thinking of poor Mark Atkinson, who was on the pod last week, and he had his little receders.
Yeah.
It's not long now.
So sad.
Please, mate.
But you can have a new lid by Christmas if you go on the Suns website, put in the code RIGBIZ30, you get 30% off their 3-month package, and in over 90% of guys, you will have your hair back in time for Christmas. I mean, the greatest Christmas present you could ever wish for. Anyway, here's a good Christmas present for us, because we've got an incredible Clubhouse story from a certain Sean. Just Sean.
Ooh,
that's but it's Sean suspicious. With an accent on the A, so Cian.
Oh, Cian.
I'm guessing.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't really socialize with people called Sean. Cian, that makes sense.
Well, he says, good afternoon.
Let's call him Cian.
He says, good afternoon, gents. I hope this finds you well.
It does.
For my clubhouse.
Halloween is this weekend, so I'm very, very happy.
For my clubhouse story, I will describe the scenes I encountered from a touring side a couple of years ago.
It was my touring team, was it?
Well, let's find out.
Well, because what you do find, teams that tour are exploders.
Yeah?
Yeah. Have you ever been on a tour? Like a rugby tour?
No.
Oh, wow. I don't think you survive. Some people don't.
Oh, my God.
Some people don't. It's actually a well-known statistic.
That's quite tragic.
I think 1 in 10 people that go on a rugby tour end up dead.
Jesus Christ. Well, let's move on. While the visiting team go on the lash and started getting loose at our clubhouse, every one of my teammates gradually left, leaving me on my own to witness the visitors end a tour court session.
Tour court session. Yeah. That's where most people die.
As the usual fines, forfeits, etc. were enforced. Ladies' underwear, gimp suits.
Did he say ladies' underwear? Yeah. Oh, no, that is such a... I've forgotten about that kind of banter.
Yeah. gimp suits, mystery shots, etc.
What?
Mystery shots and gimp suits.
Mystery shots?
Yeah.
So what's in the shot?
It's a mystery. But with numerous challenges...
It'll be alcohol. I promise you that. It'll be alcohol.
With numerous...
and it will get them drunk.
With numerous challenges, drinks, songs, and pints consumed.
Oh, my... Are you sure it's not a bad mix? This sounds right... Right, like I'm leading the court session.
The anecdotes.
Ladies' underwear. Oh, God.
Anyway, we then.
I mean, you have to put the knickers on, and they won't fit, or they might fit because they're for fat.
The alakadoos came to join in, thus ramping things up a notch.
The alakadoos?
Yeah.
What are the alakadoos?
I think they're like the old boys.
Oh, right.
This led to 170-year-old...
That's good banter, isn't it? Alakadoos.
This led
Can
to...
Can you write that down? Because I'll put that in the old... Chanter die, that's quite nice, yeah.
This led to 170-year-old gentleman lying on the ground while having another 2 men in their 60s standing over him and a double bum funnel, cheek to cheek, rained down upon him.
Mate, read that back to me. Read that back to me again.
This led to 170-year-old gentleman lying on the ground whilst having another 2 men in their 60s standing over him and a double bum funnel, cheek to cheek, rained down upon him.
Brilliant. I'm almost speechless. And you know, sometimes I lie in bed and I think, God, you know, what am I going to be doing when I'm old? Like, just knowing that time is coming and eventually I will die. And what is my legacy? And then I realised that I'll be in my 70s or 60s, still doing bum funnels. Well, brilliant. That's made me feel really happy.
They really showed us younger generation how it's done and gave us some horrible scenes that can never be forgotten.
Oh, wow.
Keep up the good work. Warmest regards, Xi'an.
Well, brilliant clubhouse story. I think that is really warming to know that you can still be doing bum funnels in your old age.
So, Archie, before we let you go, big, big weekend coming up. It's Halloween.
Yes.
What are you boys going to be up to?
Yes, 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 please. Yes, please.
What are you boys going to be doing?
Well, big weekend, Clodis.
Of course.
As CEO of Clapham, Halloween weekend is... Yeah, it's probably our most profitable weekend.
Good news for Rishi.
Rishi will be really happy. We've got an early kickoff match on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So if anyone wants to come watch, just drop me a DM.
Lovely.
It could be a tough game. But yeah, be in the clubhouse probably around 3:30, having a few jars with the boys.
Nice.
Holding court. Especially after their clubhouse story. Probably do a couple of bum funnels.
Of course.
And then I think a few boys are coming back to mine and we're getting fancy dressed up. Probably have some pre-lash. Probably be on the old John Paul Jones rum.
Oh, so good.
Play a bit of beer pong and then, head out on the high street. Probably pop into number 32, then the high street, then to Inferno's. Because Inferno's will be kicking off this weekend. I mean, the fancy dress will be elite.
That's going to be great.
There'll be a lot of snogging. I can't wait. I'm very excited, Clodis.
Well, mate, you sound it. Just a quick one, because obviously you're a very busy man. You got a baby and everything. But Monday, we're bringing out a special.
Oh, yes.
Because I think
we're
about to sit down and interview Paul Sackey, aren't we?
Paul Sackey. We've been trying to get him for God knows how long.
Almost a year.
We finally got him. And I tell you what, it's a goodie.
Yeah.
And that's why we're bringing out early. Really, really good banter. What a kind guy to give up his time.
Oh, God. I can't believe we just got it. It's exclusive. Exclusive.
Right, mate. I'm probably going to take this rum, the John Paul Jones rum, and go home.
Oh, it's so good.
I might try some tonight.
Mate, the little seaweed taste in there is beautiful. Also, you make any cocktails with it, Negronis, whatever you want. It's fucking amazing.
The only exception I have to it is Paul, the name Paul.
Yeah. He was the sort of father of the Navy there, so great man.
Really? Right? Okay. Yeah.
And also...
Paul's just not a good name.
No, but also, as we said, it's from...
John and Jones. Yeah, strong.
But also, as we said...
I went to boarding school with a couple of people called Jones. And the housemaster used to go, Jones, come here!
Yeah.
Which is always very, very good.
Mate, you should probably crack on anyway.
Yeah, no, I am, I'm faffing, Clodis.
Yeah,
so it's just, if I go home early, then, it's just so...
Well, you can't stay here, mate.
Just sort of crying. I know, but can I just do... I'll just do some work in the corner.
Well, the internet's not working.
Oh, again!
Yeah.
It's never working here. Whenever I want to do work, I'm sorry. Alright.
Just take your room and go, mate, as well.
No, I'll just walk home, because then... If I go the long way, I'll get home. Johnny Jono will be asleep, and I'll
All right,
okay,
mate.
I'll see you next week. Close to my skin, I'm falling in. Someone who's been sitting by the phone. I'm left alone in another zone. Chances to live above hell, and my will is way.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.